Well, good morning. I'm glad that you tuned in to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. A little different than what we share at the 11 o'clock hour when we look for joys and concerns. It gives me an opportunity to share some things that may be on my heart and what I'm thinking and what I'm praying for or what the church is doing or how can we help one another in so many ways. Most of you may know that Judy had been diagnosed this past couple months with a large B-cell lymphoma. That's the bad news. The good news is that they feel as though that it can be treated and that it can be, you don't operate on them things, is the way they tell me, but they can be treated. And but getting to the point of getting up to ready to be treated can be a little rough, you know. They take biopsies and they do this kind of test and that kind of test, and it's really hurtful, and the pain is still there while they're doing all this stuff to get ready for the treatments. And so she went through all that. You know, they put down just like a little thing in the chest, like they call it a port, very similar to people who have pacemakers. They just put it right underneath the skin, but they can do everything in that port by drawing blood and the treatments and all that. Well, these last couple of weeks, she's really been feeling rough. It's really been painful because they say it's a fast-growing lymphoma thing. It's pushing on a lot of different organs and so forth. A lot of pain that come with it. But finally, on this coming Wednesday morning, March the 3rd, she was scheduled for her first treatment. And the doctor said, we need to get you in, get this treatment started. You're going to see a big difference even after one treatment, which is, wow, this is so true. It takes all day, though. But they do it outpatient right there at the Tallahassee Memorial Cancer Center. So today being Thursday, when I'm recording this, she's feeling real well. I know she's feeling good when she starts cooking and doing laundry and cleaning house and all that stuff that she loves to do and just feels real bad when she can't do it. But just to give a report on her, the first treatment went well, and we want to ask that you continue to keep her in prayer and all the doctors and the nurses that are taking care of her. But I've been thinking a lot during this period of time and being at the hospital and different things and seeing how so many people are hurting in this world. When we first started finding out what needed to be done, we started out with the emergency room when the pain got so bad that she couldn't handle it anymore, and we got her to the emergency room and they got her stabilized and then got her down to the hospital and where they found out exactly what was going on. But you know, people come with physical healing, they need spiritual healing, all kind of healing, and some of it can be done with medicine, some of it just has to be done in the spiritual realm through a relationship with Christ. So what do you need to do to be healed? Well, the first thing is to have a strong faith. So how does God heal? Well, God heals in so many ways. You know, one of the ways that we get complete healing when we get to go to be with the Lord forever, unless he comes for us first. But we need to always have the church there. And one of the jobs of the church is to heal and ask for healing through prayer. It says in James chapter 5, 13 through 16, that anyone among you sick, then they should call for the elders of the church. Now, the elders of the church is mature believers, not necessarily a position in the church, but anybody who is a mature believer in Jesus Christ is an elder. And have them pray over them, the prayer of faith, and anointing them with oil. But sick is the concept of giving healing a new lease on life. Now, sickness is a deficiency of something in our body that's going wrong or something missing. The sick body has limitations that restrict freedom of movement sometimes, freedom of capabilities, and even freedom to enjoy life. To be released from sickness, though, healing must have a spiritual restoration of the soul along with it. Now, sin is the ultimate sickness in our lives, eating at the core of our soul, but spilling out of our physical, mental, social, moral well-being. Healing from sins comes from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a wonderful, wonderful way to look at it. But what about health? Health is well-being. Physical, emotional, I was thinking about my sermon title for Sunday, soul food? No, soul soup. Anyhow, you can come and come to church on Sunday morning. You can hear it, or you can hear it on the online version on the where Phil records the Sunday morning service. So, but health is well-being, physical, mental, emotional, moral, and spirit. Now, we can be physically sick while mentally, emotionally, morally, socially, and spiritually well, or we can have health and sickness and any other combination. Tragedy strikes when several of these things gang up on us, as sometimes they often do. Sometimes emotional sickness or spiritual sickness induces physical sickness, or sometimes we're just so physically ill that it takes us down emotionally and spiritually. At the headwaters of all health, spiritual health, being fit spiritually, in tune with God's love and God Himself, will help you through so many things. So why do we get sick? That's always been a question that's been asked many times over and over again. 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, our body now disappoints us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be raised full of power. You see, our physical bodies are victims of physical ailments, but our souls are also victims to spiritual ailments. God can heal either, or He can heal both. And when we need to reach out to God, we need to ask for God's healing, both in a spiritual and emotional and a physical sense. Amen. Well, there's a lot of prayers that's in need of our congregation and all around the world. And we ask that we come into a prayer of agreement with you and for you and maybe anything that you're dealing with. But I was thinking about, what is the one word that describes life today? And for many people, the answer might be, well, it's stress. It's complicated. People, you don't understand, preacher, life is hectic. It's complicated. But considering all that's been going on around us in recent months with the COVID and the political situation and all that other kind of mess, it's completely understandable that this would be your answer. Wow. Now, I certainly understand that because those words have described my life at times. But God's reminded me also of a specific word that I believe He wants you to understand and to know. And that one word is joy. I want you to know that you can live with God's overflowing joy regardless of your circumstances or the seasons of life that you're in. And many people live their life in a constant state of stress and turmoil. But as a Christian, you don't have to live that way. Because God's Spirit lives in you, and so does His joy. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And Jesus told us that in John 10:10 from the Amplified Bible. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I, being Jesus, came that they may have an life and enjoy it and have it in full abundance until it overflows. Wow. Now that's an amazing scripture because it clearly tells us that God doesn't just want us to be alive. He wants to live with abundance, with overflowing joy. Alrighty, well, just a little tidbit today. A lot of prayers in our bulletin. You can go to the top of the page and click on the bulletin, and then there's tabs that drop you down, and you can see all the people that's on our prayer line. And if you need to put somebody on there, just let me know, let Phil know, and we'd be happy to get it together, or happy to even pray with you on the phone, or send us an email or a text. No, we don't want to be nosy, but we do want to be able to pray with one another. So, or if you have a praise report, send it to us. You know, we like to share good things in people's lives, too. So, with that, I would like to just to let you know that you're all in our prayers. And we hang on to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Over in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for us. And when you think about it, that is awesome. God himself, in the personhood of Jesus Christ, is praying for us. Now, we like to pray to him and for him, but to know in John 17 that he's praying for us, that's the true Lord's Prayer. But the prayer most often that we relate to the Lord's Prayer is the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples when they asked him, well, Lord, how can we pray? And he said, use this for a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. And together we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Hope and pray you're having a good day. Hope and pray we'll see you in church in person sometime soon. The weather is beginning to be beautiful. Vaccines have given us new lease on this situation with the COVID, making things safer. So, as I've said many times, it's safer to come to church than it is to go to the mall. Why? Because we have less people and we follow the same guidelines and we have the Christ at the center of all we do. Amen. Have a wonderful day.